I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market. He is Ramon in Hendersonville, Tennessee. I'm Dejan Kovacevic in downtown Pittsburgh. And, Ramon, what's up with Stephon Diggs?
Man.
Or are all receivers this way? All of them.
They all are, man. We've kind of had this conversation lightly in the past. I think it's the perfect time to have it right now for a couple of different reasons, man. One, we're not making a big deal out of this as Steeler fans because it's not our guy, right? The second part of this is all receivers kind of go through this. They always feel like they can make a play. And for the most part, heck, I think you said this the other day, wasn't it, DK? What does George Pickens say?
Put it in the sky. Yeah.
Put it in the sky. Yeah, they always feel like they can make a play. And then when you know you are the unanimous number one on your team as far as targets should go in key situations like this, I feel like it's fair that he should feel this way. But it's also just bad optics, man. It's not just your hometown team that have issues like this, too. The fact that, you know, it's not a bigger national story that he ran out of the locker room before his head coach finished the speech. I think that's a little unsettling. That leaves a bunch of questions because you never want to leave a situation where the season is over that much in a hurry, that angry, and just with so many questions as to why. And then, of course, the optics and steel shots that we all got was him throwing his hands up at Josh Allen, who's supposed to be one of the best in the world. Like, you don't do that to
Josh Allen.
To
me, it's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
To me, that was a bigger deal than the locker room thing, but maybe I'm wrong.
But to me, I think the locker room thing is a bit much, though, because you've had a segment of time to calm down. You've had ability to kind of say, you know what? We lost as a team. We got to own this thing. On the sideline, I really don't have much more of an issue than him throwing his hands up and saying, Josh, what are you looking at? You got to find me. And I think that's kind of fair, though, DK. Like, I don't see anything wrong with him saying, if I'm your guy and you trust me that much and you're supposed to be that dude, you look for him. Yes, the kids like to say, I'm him. Like, that's he's supposed to get those. He's supposed to get those looks, man. So I ain't mad at it. Is it diva-ish? Heck, yes, it is. But you can't fault him, DK, when his career is on the hinges of Josh Allen finding him in clutch moments like that.
It is, but so is the Bills' fate to an extent, and that's where he has the easy out. Okay.
As far as Diggs has the easy out?
Look, the Pittsburgh Steelers played a game in Buffalo not that long ago where in the first half, Diggs was a total non-factor. Josh Allen was a total non-factor. What happened in the second half?
Did he get off? Yeah.
Okay. And they end up doing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So he has cause for that. I get maybe a little bit extra defensive about wide receivers and the diva concept.
Okay.
Because aside dealing with them off the field and whatever, because they are a little bit different.
Yeah, they are.
Until you've been at a training camp in Latrobe and seen Antonio Brown freak out over not getting multiple, and you remember this very vividly because you were right there blocking on those plays.
Yeah.
He wanted four or five in a row.
Yeah.
And there were passes going to other receivers in the end zone from Ben, and he just lost it. And you go, okay, well, You know,
it's dependency. You know, it's I'm an adult, but I still got to depend on you to help me do my job. You got to justify throwing me the ball. I got to be able to justify I'm good at what I do because I need you to throw me the ball. And if you don't throw me the ball, and this is the other thing, we talked about pace in the Hey Moan segment, right? And we speak about how wide receivers run a lot, but they can pace themselves a little bit more. In those practice settings where AB would go off or say, hey, give me the ball, you know? Like, it was kind of warranted because it feel like you're working for nothing.
And that's why, that's the purpose of AB, I thought. The madness behind his own madness was, yeah, if I get them uncomfortable with not throwing the ball to me, even now in August,
yeah,
then they're going to be extra uncomfortable not throwing to me when the games happen. And I really think that was part of it. But the other part, Moan,
that's smart,
is where the wide receivers, it's a position like no other. None. In sports. You are asked, you were talking yesterday about how the defense expends its energy and so forth, yeah, by running to places they don't have to run to. Nobody does that like the wide receivers.
Okay. By far the only offensive position that possibly does it.
And I think it's the only position in all of sports, because you're told to go running 50 yards down the field on, yeah, a fly,
yep,
for nothing. You know, there's no chance of the ball coming your way. George Pickens must have done that 300 times this year.
Yes, he did. And he's owed
pull a safety away from us. That's all.
And he's owed some payback too. Again, these guys that we call divas, I think it is strategic in how they go about it. It looks ugly, but I think being strategic and being a pest, being strategic and being a guy that understands, like, I can't do anything if I got a trash quarterback. And they do not mind saying that at times either. You know, or if they have their guy. Like, I listened to an interview with AB, and AB admitted it. Ben was the best guy I had. And you know why? You want to know his reason, though, too, in a backhanded type of way, because that's their friggin' relationship? Well, this is him. Well, he threw me the ball the most. Like, that's how you justify it.
Yeah, I mean, well, he did.
But they were good at that, though, too, DK. It was
they weren't good. They were great.
They were great at it. I think Diggs was getting to, and the frustration was, I am the break glass in case of emergency guy.
Yeah, and he's been that.
And he's been
that. We've seen it. And I, again, I understand it, but I also can't help but look at it, especially with a lot of the parallels that people have drawn through Josh Allen's career to Ben, you know, because he's kind of built like him. People bounce off him. He's not afraid to run it the way Ben was early in his career. But then I'm looking at the Bills at a certain stage of where that franchise is right now, where more was expected than what's been achieved. Okay. And you see that scene over there on the sideline and you think, man, I mean, it's trouble in paradise, and it happens everywhere. And it's going to happen in the new paradise, meaning Cincinnati. You're going to have a day when Jamar Chase or T. Higgins or, well, everybody but Tyler Boyd, who's just like the nicest kid on the planet. But everybody else is gonna lose it at some point. They just will.
They do. And so will George Pickens someday.
George already did the one time. You remember that. So, but that's, it's almost like it's ingrained in the culture, not so much to be a diva, but this is what I have to do to get the ball.
Yep.
That's it. Mm-hmm. If I don't do this, no one's going to pay attention. Yep.
You become a wash.
When we come back, we're going to clone Moan.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. We're not afraid to discuss the obscenely ridiculous. And there can't be anything more ridiculous in the history of the football internet than yesterday's scene in which people were claiming, and they seemed serious, that Damar Hamlin isn't really alive, but that he's been cloned. And this is why the Bills aren't letting him speak publicly, and they were hiding the camera during the game. They weren't showing his face because the clone hasn't fully formed or whatever it is. Moan, what kind of silly season are we in? Like, just as a society.
It's the internet, man. Or as I like to say sometimes, internet. Because the more you go into it, the worse it gets, okay? I don't know. I look at that and I'll say, first and foremost, that's overly disrespectful. You know, like to be able to use this guy's platform for something not well, you know, you got to look at this too. Most times these days, these kids wear those ski masks, or he probably has to do that for his own health sake as far as that goes. Or maybe he enjoys the light with his helmet on. That's one thing I've learned about football players more than anything. Like, I think basketball players, they're so used to being able to be visible all the time. Like, when they go in public, you know who they are because you see them all the time. That's a part of their culture, okay? But with football players, like, you know me, I feel like I'm a very charismatic, outgoing guy, but I got to get to know you just a smidge, okay? Like, you're not going to see me being the loudest in the room like that. But it's with the helmet on, there's a disguise. And I feel like in that moment, you have a guy that's out with his teammates and on the field, but the attention that this story brought to him probably made him feel more comfortable. Well, let me at least control my emotions and my face and my facial expressions and everything. That clone stuff is comical, man. It really is, DK, and very disrespectful to me.
Well, yeah, there's also a serious side to it. Now, Damar himself felt obligated on his Twitter account to respond to it with that little clone tweet of his. And showing him standing in front of that now famous mural in Buffalo that was painted up of him. But it's amazing how I'll bet you this stuff, the crazy stuff that's starting to happen in society and politics and everywhere else, it's going to start infiltrating sports. You watch.
You think so?
I really do. I don't think there's any corner of our lives that it's going to be a safe haven from it. I really don't.
Well, we've always heard this too, and maybe the storylines are just fate is the same too. But let's go to a very tragic moment that was Hurricane Katrina. What happened the next year? The Saints won the Super Bowl. Like, we get that type of stuff that lines up here or there too. You can always, Yenzers, Pittsburgh Steelers. What about Jerome Bettis' bus? What about him going home? You know what I'm saying? Like, him playing the Super Bowl in his hometown. Like, is that a conspiracy? Is that you have a really good team in those
you're
moments?
You're going to a way darker territory.
Let's go into that. Like, that type of stuff brings itself to the forefront, though, right? You know, like Jordan and the Jordan rule in basketball. Like, Stern made sure that Jordan got away with certain things. And, you know, like, it's parts of this that discredit what actually is real, you know? Like, sometimes it just lines up that way, and you just got to kind of accept it. Me, personally, I'm in the mindset of, like, I'll entertain some stuff, DK. Like Katrina, I can see that being one of those. It'd be good if the Saints won, but I'm not going out there willingly losing games so that the Saints can win the Super Bowl and get a fairy tale story.
Thing here, the scope, people mention conspiracies so routinely, like as if they're just nothing. And they do this, by the way, including referees. Okay. And they say, oh, the so and so, they're in the bag for this team or they're in the. No, they actually aren't. Do you know how many people would have to be in on something in order to, for example, to favor the New England Patriots? Okay. Go ahead.
There's one, what was his name? One basketball ref.
That was it. Tim Donaghy.
Where did he spend some time at because of that?
That would be prison.
That would be prison.
Yes.
Okay. For trying to put fixes in. And he did. He admitted that he did. And he ruined some guys' careers because of that. And that's why you go to prison for that type of stuff. So but
that's also why we know his name. It's so rare.
So true.
I mean, you can't go over any of the major professional sports throughout history and find cases of corruption within officiating or umpiring or whatever it is.
Yeah. Okay?
You have bad refs, you have bad umps, but to suggest that they're getting paid off or to help one team, the amount of people that have to be in on it, I can't say this often enough. Do you know how many people are in an officiating crew?
I got another one that would be a team that's the same number as officiating crew. What was it, the Chicago Nine or whatever the team that basically rigged the
The
World
White
Series?
Sox. Yeah, the Black White Sox. Sox. Black Sox, yes. Actually, yeah.
Black Sox, yes. Them, as to your point, is so many different moving parts that have to be on the same page. Somebody's bound to crack and talk. That's what happened
with the Black Sox. It wasn't the entire team that was getting paid. It wasn't the entire team that said yes. There were a handful of them that took money, and they were just enough to, commit an error. But that also was when they were making absolute peanuts.
Yeah, which, by the way, referees make a good bit of money regardless because they have to be afforded to make a good bit of money because you have that element of bribing that could happen.
Again, how many people have to be in on it? In the NBA, on an NBA court, there's two other refs there out there with Tim Donaghy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They can see it.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
In an NHL, you've got four total officials on the rink. Major League Baseball, four umps. In the playoffs, six. In the NFL, you got half a dozen crew members, and you've got every eye in the sky studying everything.
And if
you make a trash call, it can now be overturned by replay.
I'll say this about that too. I know. Not only just that though, but it's the idea that those guys have to be absolutely so tight, so well put together. And I can say this. I feel like if there's a bad call on one end, you'll get it back at some point in time, right? Like where they would allow something to go and they know they've messed up their job. Well, I can see a quick pull be a holding call.
I think we can
acknowledge that, right?
Human nature. That to me is human nature. It's not fixing anything. It's not favoring any team. It's just saying, you know what? These two teams are playing a really good, hard football game here. And five flags so far have all gone against one team. So let's just keep more of an eye out. That's human nature.
That's human nature. If this type of stuff was true, DK, then I'd have to be owed two Super Bowls because Pounce going down before the Super Bowl. I need that one, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Rashard Mendenhall got one. I want one too, okay?
Let's not be ticking off Rashard this week.
Guy, man. I saw that on social media. That's a totally different story. But also, Shazier's situation. We be owed something there, and that's just not how the game works, man. If we're speaking about Damar Hamlin's end of, his season/career probably, like, that's not going to be the case where you get a clone out of somebody just to
play. Oh, my goodness. Wow. When we come back, the only segment that matters, plus a little special announcement.
That's Hey Mom.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. And the only segment that matters, it's brought to you by the Get Go Cafe and Market, where three, count them, Moan, one, two, three expert chefs fine-tune every detail so that every sub, burger, salad, wrap, drink, and app is crafted for what they call craveability. Order your favorite entry at the Get Go Cafe and Market today. Better believe it. Before we get going today, fun little announcement for us today. That we asked and you delivered. Crazy. We asked for people to push us through the 20,000 subscriber mark on YouTube, where a lot of you watch this show. And not only did you get us there, but it was just like blowing past the finish line, still sprinting around the track.
Man, way faster than my 40 time.
Let's leave out the combine here, all right?
Yeah. Thank you guys, though. That's huge right there, DK, man. We talked about a day or two, and here we are.
That's right. Yeah, 20,000 subscribers. If you haven't done it yet, you know, I know some of you said, well, I said, I'm going to send Ramon to your house. And then you say, oh, then I'm just going to unsubscribe because I really want Ramon to come to my house.
We talk to a bunch of degenerates around here is what it is. I forget our fan base sometimes. They long for violence, okay? And that's all right by me, especially if it's clean, good violence over the internet with me and DK. That's
an AFC North fan base.
It is.
Today's J1Q comes from someone who goes by 2B1 who says, hey, Moan, can we keep up with and or beat Cincinnati over the next few years? Can the Steelers still go into Cincinnati for a third game in the playoffs and walk out with a win? Do you think we can show the same drive that Cincinnati did in Buffalo? Moan, you better take this one.
You know what? I think it's fair to ask that. And I also feel like, and I know DK's on the other side of this, and he's about to pull out his yardstick to pop some wrist around here after I get done. I think it's okay to want that because you see these teams in the AFC North not once but twice a year. You know them like you know your backhand. You know their tendencies. You know their style of play. You know the requirements to play up against them, and you want for your organization, your favorite team in the entire world, to compete with that. And I'm with you in that same boat. I'm looking at the roster myself and kind of saying, when are we going to make these moves? What kind of moves are we going to make? Will this O-line grow? How come our O-line didn't pull it together the way Cincy did to protect the way they did early in the year? It's so many different questions. Like, I'm watching Joe Mixon, and I say, we got that in Najee. I'm watching them piece together an offensive line. We did that also. But can we compete is your question that you had for me. The answer is yes, because we split games. It's a matter of what level and how consistent we can be outside of our own division, too. I think that's another component of it. Can we go and beat Philadelphia? Can we go beat a good Rams team? Can we go beat, you know, all of those other teams that have dynamic quarterbacks? Kansas City, which I hate to even say it, but goodness, I feel like Cincinnati got a real good chance of doing that again. They're not my pick, and we'll get to that later, but that's a hard conversation to have, but it's a real one. There should be a little bit of, in this world, team envy, because it's what you're used to. Yes, we're spoiled.
I don't like AFC North envy.
Come on. Break it down, DK.
I am not into AFC North envy. I don't like when people look at the Browns and there's Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and they're running the ball and everyone's going, man, I wish we could run like the Browns. I hate that. I don't like whenever the Ravens were – hotter than everybody. Remember when Lamar Jackson was MVP level and you're going, oh, what if we had a quarterback who could do things like that? I don't like it. I don't like when you look at the Bengals right now and say, oh, if only our quarterback was the miraculous wonder boy like Joe Burrow and we had these magical receivers and everything else here. I have two admitted, okay. I'm going to confess them here, cases of Bengals envy. I'm going to give them to you.
Okay.
Because this show is about keeping it real. Okay. One, I hate that they have Mike Hilton. Okay.
That's a big one.
That is a big one. I want Mike Hilton back. And I am not going to apologize to that to anyone. Okay. Second, did you have to win in the snow?
I know.
Did you have to go to Buffalo and out tough a team in the snow and take away the Jerome Bettis, Brian Urlacher exclusivity that we had here in Pittsburgh on toughness in the snow?
Yeah.
Come on. But overall, I think there's a lot of good things happening here.
I do too. And you know, it's always better seen as a finished product when it comes down to that type of stuff. Like, we're seeing what Cincy is and can potentially be moving forward. But my thing is that pendulum can swing so fast. This is a deeper conversation, DK, when it comes down to these quarterbacks. Like, right now we're watching Joe Burrow be the quarterback slayer. Like, we played in an era, boy, I want to go into this more, DK, but I'm going to tease it, and I'm going to write it down, and we're going to talk about it in a bigger segment and another time. But we're watching the quarterback right now. Here's my pad that I keep with me when a great idea comes out.
He does, too. He brings them all back up.
I do. I got one for you, too, that you dropped yesterday, DK, that we got to break down.
Yeah, I know.
But this is where I'm at with it. Have we seen in modern football a quarterback going into his prime, honestly playing toe-to-toe with a quarterback that everybody holds as number one, meaning Patrick Mahomes is number one, but you're looking at a guy that's potentially about to go 0-4 against Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes? Nobody, DK. They won sparingly, but nobody in my era of football, yours too, and still currently, I'm not that old, nobody unsat Tom Brady.
No, not once.
Joe Burrow.
I shouldn't say not once. He did lose big games, but
not in the same division. He lost to Eli, right? Yeah. You can say he lost to Eli. But as far as just like and dominance OBJ. For Super Bowl, nobody did Tom like that. And that's a conversation we need to have to where it looks good, but Kansas City is potentially about to hit cap hell too, considering Patrick's big money is about to start kicking in, and that roster management means a little something too.
Yeah, no, we're going to start seeing, especially in Buffalo, we're going to start seeing a lot of that with Josh Allen going up to $40 million. And yeah, quarterback envy is one thing. I mean, I'm not crazy about that, but just within the AFC North.
Yeah.
Just go, you know.
I feel them. I'm with you. I get it because we hate them so much.
Yeah. And I here again, this will be the last time. This will be the third and last thing. Okay. But there was a. There was a thing on, I don't know, it was a Barstool or whatever on their Twitter account or whatever, where they just said, Joe Burrow, super awesome, cool guy that everybody loves. And there's a picture of Burrow with a big old cigar.
Yeah.
And a something, something rule the North. And I'm thinking, you know, they're a game shy, okay, of making it back to the Super Bowl again. And they're still trumpeting winning the North.
Yep. They are. Well, let's do more of this.
Let's do more of this, Moan. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
That was a good. I appreciate the question. It was fair, although I like it, and it's clear that DK's not a fan of the AFC North envy, but it's good for the soul.
Let's do it again tomorrow, Moan.
No doubt.